All right. Well, I am ready for this next interview, and the person I have the privilege of interviewing and introducing to all of you, I was introduced to by my good friend, Dr. George Frazier, and this man is remarkable, and he is a chiropractor who holds a master's degree in sports health science. He's also an author, and I have a few of his books on my shelf. And I love his books because they're practical and they have useful tips. He is a speaker, and I've had the privilege of sharing the stage with him, a media guest, a consultant. What I love about this individual, however, is he loves, loves, loves what he does, and chiropractic and serving people and educating everyone on the power of having a healthy body is truly his passion. So please welcome Dr. Byron Jackson.
Wow, no pressure, but that was absolutely outstanding. Thanks for that beautiful and amazing introduction.
Well, I remember the first time I met you, I thought this man's so cool. You know, he made, and we did a presentation together, and health was fun. It was really just an amazing conversation. So I know you're going to totally touch our audience, and my goal is that we inspire them to do at least one thing different than what they're doing today.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things is that a lot of times when you think about health in general or wellness, whatever term, you know, that's the new fad that's out there. But the fact remains that most of the time people get, you know, turned off by it because it's usually boring, it's dull, it's confusing, or very complex. So one of the things I like to do is to try to sift through all of the what I call medical mumbo jumbo and just get right down to the nuts and bolts. What is it? What is the takeaway? What can a person use? What can I do right now that's not going to cost me a ton of money that can really impact not just my life, but the life of those around me?
And that is so key because, you know, with all the information out there, I think one of the reasons why people shy away from their health is it's confusing. You
Oh, without a
know?
doubt, without a doubt. And then, you
All
know, a lot
the
of mass media marketing and all of the, you know, advertising, it kind of confuses you from time to time, and you don't know what to do, what's good, what's bad, and you know, you read a label, and you're just all over the place. It's funny. I often joke with people when I see these things. They'll say, for example, I saw a package or a bottle, and it had apple juice, and it said gluten free. I said, well, when did apple started having wheat and gluten in them, right? But you know, to the consumer, it's like, oh great, let me grab that. And it's just like, well, I thought all apples were gluten free, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, I laugh at that all the time. It's the marketing, right? And one of my favorites is, you know, when they talk about like organic or free range, and they go corn fed cows, and I'm like, when was the last time you saw a cow eat corn?
Right,
Right?
they're supposed to eat
Um,
grass. They're
they
supposed
are,
to, you know, graze on the
yeah.
land. They're herbivores.
You know, and I'm like, okay, but because we don't know, and there's so much information out there, people are like, oh, this is great. It's corn-fed cows. I'm like, okay, think that through for a minute. You know, but that's the state that we live in. That's where we live. So, Dr. Barney, before we jump into the interview, tell everybody a little bit about who you are and what exactly is chiropractic.
That is an amazing question because the vast majority of people, patients that come into our offices on a daily basis, have no idea what chiropractic is. For the most part, people think that, you know, the chiropractor is the guy or the lady who cracks your back or, you know, pop your neck. Well, in our office, we tell patients all the time, the only thing we crack are jokes and smiles. And the only thing we pop is corn, okay? What we do is we deliver what's called adjustments. We're adjusting the spine. We're taking something that's misaligned and putting it back in place. Think of like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, right? People can go and they can tinker with the roof as much as they want to. They can mess with the middle of the building. But if that foundation isn't corrected, then what will happen is over time, the tower will continue to lean and lean and lean, and it'll topple over. Well, our bodies are so dynamic that our bodies don't topple over, so to speak. But what happens is the body starts to compensate so that it doesn't topple over. So those compensations may show up in the sense of neck pain or back pain or headaches or even other things like high blood pressure, cholesterol levels may be off, body chemistry may be thrown off. So chiropractors think of them as more or less as your health coach to try to coach you to a healthier lifestyle. Now, when you think about how the body is designed, I like to use this analogy of what we call the power story, in that right now, our homes are fueled with power. And every month, doesn't matter where you live, you get a power bill, electrical bill, illuminating bill, whatever you call it, but you get a bill from your power company for all of this energy, all this electricity that you use. Well, the question is, how does that power get from the power company out to your home? Well, in the simplest form, it goes down the power lines, right? And then those power lines come right into your home. Well, I've taken care of people from power companies, so I know that it's a lot more complicated. I know that there's grids and transformers and all these other things that help conduct the electricity. But for the most part, the power company makes power. They send that power down the power lines, and the power lines come into our homes. Outside of all of our homes, no matter where you live, are power poles or utility poles. Their purpose is to help keep the power lines in place. Well, if it's storming too hard outside, or someone's drinking a little too much, and something knocks down a power pole, whether it's a car that runs into it or a lightning bolt that hits that power pole, the thing you notice is that inside your home, you lose power, right? So what happens? When the power goes out, you can't do any of what I call the fun stuff, right? You can't use your computer. You can't charge your smartphone. You can't use the stove. The refrigerator's out. The microwaves don't work. Well, when that happens, the first thing you do is that you call the power company. And what the power company does, they don't go in your home. They don't tinker with your toaster. They don't check your antenna on your TV, right? They don't change light bulbs. What the power company does is they go out to the source. They go to the power pole. They fix your power pole, and then miraculously, the power comes back on. Well, let's think about our bodies. Your brain is like the power company. It runs all of the energy for your body. Well, how does the brain, for example, get the energy out to your eyes, out to your lungs, out to your stomach, out to your heart, out to your muscles? Well, it does it the exact same way that the power company does. It sends it down power lines. But in the body, we call those power lines nerves. But remember, just like the analogy I used with the power company originally, there's power poles that keep those power lines in place. Well, the body has the exact same structure, so to speak. The power lines are held in place by power poles, which are called spinal bones. Most people, when you think of your spine or your backbone, as people would say, they think of it as a one bone, as a structure, as just one solid piece of bone. But your power poles in your body, or your spinal bones, they're called vertebrae. The vertebrae, there's 24 of them, and they move, and they have different directions. They can move up to 120 different degrees at any given time. So there are 24 different bones that control all of the power lines or the nerves that feed your body. Now, there's 32 pairs of nerves, and those nerves branch off, and they feed every single part of your body, Suzanne. Everything from, like I said, your eyes, your skin, your blood vessels, your heart, your kidneys, your muscles. Everything is fed by a nerve. And every doctor knows that if you cut any nerve, that part of the body that is feeding is going to die out. But now, what tends to happen in life from things like sedentary lifestyle, so, we're sitting at the computer for 8 hours a day, or getting stressed out, or eating, bad foods, the muscles get tense and tight, or carcinous, right? The muscles get strained. The power poles, or those spinal bones, they get knocked out of place, and what it does is it essentially pinches on those nerves, and then wherever that nerve goes, that part of the body loses power. So you get the ickiness and the soreness out in the muscles, for example. But the problem could be back at the source, back at the street, back at your power pole. So chiropractors are very uniquely designed to check the different power poles or check the different vertebrae, find the ones which are out of place, and then very gently, whether through your hands or through different instruments or different means, click by click, put the power poles back in place. The power miraculously come back on. So like in our office, we don't necessarily just take care of headaches and neck pains and back pains. We have patients who have issues with their toe, for example, toe pain. So what do? We find a power pole literally that's controlling the nerves or the power that goes to the toe. If that power pole is out of place, we put it back in place. Guess what? Now the nerve can send the right energy, the right blood flow, the right oxygen amount to that toe. The power comes back on. Their toe feels better.
Wow.
So chiropractors more or less like the power company. We're simply checking the power poles, which are knocked out of place. We put them back in place, and the power comes back on.
That's such a great analogy. That's a beautiful picture. I can see that. What you're also saying is that you guys are going to the source of the problem. So, because oftentimes, you know, I remember I injured my shoulder, and I have, because I've been an athlete for so many years, I have places in my body that tend to be a little bit more sensitive than others. So
right,
they
absolutely
flare up depending on weather and different things. Now, if I were to go to a traditional doctor, more than likely he will give me a prescription for something to reduce the discomfort, the pain that I'm experiencing. However, I do see a chiropractor, and what's cool about that is you will work with me to find the source of this, readjust it, and relieve that pain, and over time actually show me how I can not actually experience that. And for me, I know that because my chiropractor, wow, friend, I like, that's one of my favorite places, because it has reduced so much discomfort for me, whereas someone would have probably had me medicated. And now I actually understand what I'm required to do to get to the source of where what I'm feeling. So, you know, so what you're really talking about is not just putting a Band-Aid on, but actually getting to the root cause, right? Am I getting you correctly?
You are. You know, amongst the healthcare community, we often say that doctor of chiropractic, which are, you know, our degrees like medical doctor, MD, or DDS for dentist, or DMD, we often say here in the States that chiropractors are doctors of cause, meaning we're trying to find the cause, because our letters behind our names is DC. So we say that stands for doctor of cause. We're trying to find out what is the cause of the root problem, right? And it's a Chinese proverb that says, the superior doctor prevents sickness, the mediocre doctor attends to impending sickness, the inferior doctor treats actual sickness. So from our standpoint, we want to think of ourselves as superior doctors, and doctor just means teacher, because we're trying to prevent sickness. Now, granted, there are people that come into my office and, you know, we got to first get them out of that fire, get them out of those symptomatic states. But for the most part, at that point, we want to then take them to that next level. How can we help your body not just feel better, but function better, right? And that's why, you know, a lot of my colleagues, a lot of my friends, they refer to me as the good doctor, because my goal is not just to help you feel good, but I want to make sure that your body is functioning good for an extended period of time.
Got it. So you know, I believe that when people hear chiropractor, as they do massage, and I'm talking more therapeutic massage versus relaxation massage, but massage and all those things, they think of these are the people I go to when I'm hurting, when something's wrong. Would you say that these are the people that you should go to, not when you're hurting, but as a precaution, as prevention, as part of a routine?
Well, without a doubt. You see, research says that only 8 to 10% of the body detects pain. What does that mean? Think of your body going through a checkpoint of 90% before it ever exhibits a pain. See, if our bodies exhibited pain when we first felt it, you would just self-destruct. Because if you think about every time you got upset, every time you got stressed, every time you ate the wrong thing, every time you put your body in a bad position, if you felt every inch of the pain or every inkling that every time that happens, your body will self-destruct. So what your body has is God made it so awesome that he actually put in safeguards where we only detect 10% of the pain. If you think about a cavity or a toothache, for example, it's usually ubiquitous because someone has experienced that, you know, or if it's not you, so some form of tooth pain, right, whether it's a cavity or toothache or whatever the case may be. The time that you feel that pain is not when the problem started. You know, you go to a good doctor, you know, they won't say, hey, your cavity started today. It had been developing for a while. The point was you just didn't know it because you hadn't got past that 90% of checkpoints yet, right? And so, you know, by the time that you finally feel the pain, that's a late sign that there actually is a problem. If you think about cancer, for example, when someone is diagnosed with cancer, my grandfather, great man he was, to me, he died of cancer, right? The day he got diagnosed with cancer, that was not an early sign that he had cancer, right? That was a late sign that he had cancer. When someone diagnoses someone with cancer, the cancer is there, right? They didn't catch it early, right? Same thing when, you know, when women go in for a breast exam. Unfortunately, if they're diagnosed with breast cancer or lumps, that's not an early sign. That's a late sign that there's a problem there. So the first thing we have to understand is we got to get out of this mindset of, well, when I feel the pain, then that's a good indicator that there's a problem. You know, it's very similar to your car, right? When the brakes start squeaking, yeah, it's giving us a sign, but we probably should have already had changed the brakes in the car. Right. When we see the oil light that comes on and says your oil level is low, it was low before that indicator hit it. It's just now gotten to that checkpoint to say, hey, if you don't help me out soon, we're going to break down. So sometimes your body whispers and sometimes it yells. Unfortunately, we've been built to think that, hey, when I feel a pain, then I should do something about it. And then we turn that into something called prevention. But there's a difference between what we call prevention and also early detection, right? Early detection is more or less like you're going in for your annual mammogram, or you're going in to the lady doctor, you know, for your pap smear, or, you know, us gentlemen, we're going in to get our prostates checked. That's early detection. We're trying to detect if there's a problem early on, opposed to preventative care. Prevention means putting in some type of measure, putting in something to try to prevent a problem from arising, not trying to early detect the problem when it gets there. Now, early detection is good, but prevention is better.
Why do you think that we don't do prevention?
Well, I think for the most part, prevention is not necessarily taught.
Right?
And I think a lot of people don't really know or think of it in that means because you've been inundated with going about life on how you feel. If I feel fine, everything is good. Well, there's a lot of people who feel fine today, but tomorrow they're going to die of a heart attack. Did you know the first sign of half of the people who die of a heart attack, their first sign is a heart attack, meaning they didn't have any inkling that a heart attack was approaching. But guess what? There's going to be many people tomorrow that are going to drop dead of a heart attack, and they had no idea. They didn't know that they had high blood pressure. They didn't, you know that they had irregular heartbeats. But they're going to die tomorrow, and that's going to be their first sign, their first indication that they had, you know, any signs of a heart attack. So the idea here is to stop waiting for the sign, stop waiting for the symptom. Now, granted, if you have something going on, you should get checked out, try to get out of that fire as quick as you possibly can. But the best measure would be to start putting some safeguards in place to prevent these things from happening or prevent these things from showing up as much as possible.
You know, I think a big part of it, is, as you said, is we are socialized to gauge our health on how we feel. I think there's also this whole thing, you know, like the compounded effect, right? So if I eat poorly today, it's not like I eat poorly and poof, it shows up in my body, right? Or, you know, if you step off the curb into traffic, ongoing traffic, you know impending disaster is going to happen, right?
Right.
However, if I eat poorly today, there's not an automatic impending disaster. So it's a slight edge over time that it's like compound, 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 compound. And then one day people look in the mirror and they go, oh my gosh, what happened? Right? And because it's external, we see it. But what we are not present to is that's showing up externally, that there's stuff happening internally that's equally as compounded. But because it's over time, it's gradual, I think that's one of the reasons many people don't do prevention, because they think, oh, well, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about health, and they said, "Oh, well, I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that later." And I was
well, you
like,
know, as guys, if you're not bleeding out of your ears, your nose, your mouth, and out of your big toe, then we're okay.
Yeah. Right. So you know, I one of the reasons I wanted to do this whole series, and have these, you know, all these brilliant professionals like you come is really this whole concept of understanding that the prevention is a must, and it's not around how you look, because I think particularly as Black men and women, you know, we are proud, we talk, walk around going Black don't crack, and you know, all this stuff. We talk about our melanin and we talk about all this stuff. And true, you know, we age quite beautifully. However, because it doesn't show up as readily as we think it should, we assume that nothing's going on. And even when we are diagnosed or told something, because on the outside we're still looking, you know, fine, like wine and all these things that we say, we still ignore it.
Yeah.
And I think that what you're saying is the reality is no, you can't ignore it, because when the symptoms start to show up, it's often not necessarily to it, but close to it.
Without a doubt, I totally agree with you. It's something that has to be talked about, and it's something that needs to be done. And there is no magic pill, there is no lotion, potion, or remedy to fix it all in one day. But if we start doing 1% better each day, then over time those 1% should add up to a greater whole, if that makes sense.
And I'm so glad you said that, because I think the other part that's really challenging that we're dealing with in terms of society is we have come to believe that it's a pill, it's a lotion, it's a potion, it's a wrap. It's a girdle. It's a this. It's a that. And those things will take it away. And what you're saying is no. You got to get to the source. You got to be like the, you know, the electricity company. You got to go to that pole and figure it out.
Right. But now even with that, you know, it's not that, you know, chiropractic or physical therapy or massage therapy is the know all be all. That's just one part of the puzzle, just one part of the continuum. And, you know, it is a very important part, but, you know, you can get adjusted all day, every day, but eat crappy, right, always stressed, not getting the right amount of sleep, well, you're still imbalanced, right? It's often like my pastor, he speaks on the spirituality aspect of just being a whole person, and he says that, you know, you can have a rich man, you know, financially wealthy with poor health. And he's saying that that's not really wholeness. And he's saying that he's really a poor man with a lot of money. And it's no different mm-hmm. from being a poor person, right, with great health. Well, you're just a poor person with good health, right? So there's a complete cycle that needs to be handled, and it's not just in one area.
Mm. So if I were to decide that I was really going to take my health on and I was going to put together a health team, And I say that because I believe that knowledge is power, and I'm not all that knowledgeable in all these areas. What would you suggest would be part of my health team if you were to make a recommendation for me?
Well, part of your health team, first and foremost, begins with you. And what I mean by that is that you have to make the decision. A decision has to be made that you're going to do better, that you're going to break the mold, you're not going to live up to the curse, or by the curse I mean the what we call the family health history, right? It's mm-hmm. like my grandmother died of diabetes, my mom, you know, several years ago was diagnosed with diabetes. I will never have diabetes. You know, people say never, I will never, ever have diabetes. Why? Because I'm going to make sure that I break the cycle of whatever happened or whatever they did to turn that on, right? In science, there is a science called epigenetics. And what epigenetics says is that on top of each one of your genes is a marker, like a light switch. And certain things you do turns on the light switch, and certain things you do or don't do turns off the light switch, right? So you may be predestined to be overweight. You may be predestined to have diabetes. You may be predestined, so to speak, to have cancer, right? And by predestined, I mean not that it's going to happen, but you have more of a likelihood of that happening, right? Mm-hmm. You have a higher probability, would be a better word. So if you have a higher probability, for example, of having cancer because your mother, your father, your grandfather, your grandmother, however many generations back had cancer, then what you need to do is not do the things that turn on that marker or flip the light switch on to produce cancer. So one thing you want to do is you want to make sure you stay away from sugars. It's been known for several years that cancer feeds off of sugar. It's like taking sugar, mm-hmm. pouring it outside on the sidewalk in the summertime, and ants flock to it. When you take in sugar, guess what? Cancer feeds on that. So if someone's fighting cancer or precancerous cells, the first thing you want to do is you have to eliminate all sugar from your body. And so you ask, mm-hmm. well, who would you design in your health team? Who's going to make you do that? You're going to make yourself do that, right? So you have mm-hmm. to make the decision. Now it's, do you want to live or do you want to die? Oh, well, you got to treat yourself a little bit. Well, not if you have cancer, you don't, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's non-negotiable, right? Now it's the conversation of saying, hey, I got to be a big boy or a big girl, and I got to do what's best for me if you want to live. Now you can be like my grandmother was when I remember being a kid, and my mom and my aunts, right? I can remember them saying, Mom, you're not supposed to eat that. And, you know, we've been at a cookout or a barbecue, and she's eating all these things that she's not supposed to. And I can remember with them, you know, just about pleading with her, and it's, oh, well, I'll be okay. Or if it's God's will, right, he'll heal me, right? Now,
yeah.
What if it is God's will, but you're bucking the system, right? The Bible says that God has a plan, or God is actually speaking, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I have a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, right, to give you hope, to give you a future, right, to give you health, right, not to harm you. So if it's already God's will or God's plan, right, for each individual person to be as prosperous, to be as healthy as humanly possible, is it a possibility that we retract from that, from the things we eat, the things we say, the things we do, right? We retract from it. And it has nothing to do with, well, if it's God's will, he'll heal me. Well, what if God already put it in place, but we're just bucking the system, right? It's kind of like being an adolescent. Your parents say no to this, and you say yes to this, right? Just mm-hmm. because your parents said no, you're going to do just the opposite, although it may hurt you, right? So when you ask, who do you set up in this healthcare system? Who do you set up as your healthcare team throughout this healthcare system? The first person is you. You got to be at the center. You have to know that you're in control. You have a final say. So many times I hear patients say, well, my doctor said this, or my doctor said that, and I tell people, listen, understand that we work for you, right? You're the boss. Right? Now, we're going to give you our best recommendations on what to do, but you need to understand that you're the boss, because at the end of the day, the doctor goes home, right? If there's someone here, you know, I was just telling my patient yesterday, she had an issue, she was in a car accident, and, you know, she got some strains and some sprains in her neck, you know, pinched nerve here or there. She's got a couple of things going on, and she was a little apprehensive about a different thing, a different maneuver that needed to be done, and, you know, I said, well, listen, if you don't want it done, we're not going to do it, right? It's kind of like, you know, going into surgery. If you had to have emergency surgery, you don't get up off the table when the doctor says, hey, it's going to take 4 hours. And you say, you know what, doc, I only want you to give me 30 minutes, right? He's going to be like, there's no reason to even start this thing, right? This is an all or nothing deal. And so, you know, we just had the conversation right there. It's like, listen, with all due respect, and I'm not being insensitive, but guess what? My neck doesn't hurt. Right? So if you want to get this issue corrected, we can do it, but you have to decide. You had a traumatic event, and it's going to take a little bit of pressure to remove that, right? Remove that ailment that you're having. So first and foremost, you have to decide. You have to be in the center. You have to know, hey, I want this. I want it to happen. And when you make that decision, then I think it opens up the door to have a conversation and say, well, who else now can I start to let into this circle that you will actually take the recommendations? You know, we've all had it where, you know, someone will call you for advice, but they know they're going to do their own thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the first person is you. Next, out of you, I think it's very important to make sure that, you know, dental hygiene is very important. You know, if you've never even been to a dentist since you were a kid, you know that, hey, you should brush, you should floss, you should, you know, gargle, right? Those are homework assignments that the dentist use. So I think it's very important to, you know, have good dental hygiene, right? I think you should also take care of your feet, right? When you think about it, all the weight of your body rests on your feet. But so many times the last thing we think about getting are good socks and good shoes and good insoles, right? You hardly ever think about that. But think about all of the weight rest on your feet. What if you could not use your feet tomorrow? That would shut down a lot of things in our lives, right? We wouldn't be able to drive. We wouldn't be able to walk. Not even talking about exercising, right? Just the normal day-to-day activities that we take for granted, getting in and out of the shower, bathing properly, right? Walking up to someone to embrace them with a hug. So I think that dental hygiene is very important. So, you know, you want to find a good dentist. Number two, I think that, you know, you want to definitely take care of your feet, right? So you got to make sure that, you know, those things are taken care of. You know, obviously, I'm going to say that you need to have a good chiropractor on your healthcare team, because the chiropractor is going to be the person who's going to ensure that that power system is operating to its full capacity, right? So if you're not sending the right signals out throughout your body, right, that means that you're not getting the right blood, oxygen, nutrient supply to the parts of your body in the right amount of time, then over time, guess what? Your body is going to start to malfunction. It's very similar to cars in that if you drive a six-cylinder car, your car will run on five. They'll run on four cylinders. You know, it may run a little rough, but it'll still run. But think about how much more performance you can get out of that car if you had a tune-up, right? If the oil was changed regularly, if you had all the cylinders clicking as they should be. Well, the same thing happens with your body. When your body is clicking on all cylinders, then the sky's the limit, as they say. Now, outside of that, I recommend, you know, a good massage, right? So many times, because of our lifestyles, you know, we have aches or pains, or we have tweaks here and there, even something as simple as sleeping the wrong way or exercising, we tweak ourselves. So you want to have some type of good soft tissue specialist, whether it's a massage therapist, whether it's a physical therapist, whomever that may be for you, right? You want to make sure that you have a good soft tissue specialist to break down those muscle imbalances, because I always tell people that healthy muscle should never hurt. So if someone can go up to you and press on a certain area of your muscle and, you know, provided that they're not, you know, pressing on a blood vessel or a nerve, but they're just pressing on your muscles and, you know, we're wincing and squinting around, then it's a possibility that you have a muscle imbalance. Once again, that muscle imbalance can lead to a misalignment in your spine, which could lead to a subluxation, or the colloquial term for that, a pinched nerve, which leads to malfunction in the body. So, again, dental hygiene is important. Good, you know, make sure that your feet are properly maintained, right, whether that's a podiatrist, whether that's going to a good running store, make sure that you have the right shoe to fit your foot, a good chiropractor, and you want to have a good soft tissue specialist on your healthcare team. I think those are the big ones that you really, really want to consult with. Now, some of them may be able to work interchangeably, meaning, you know, you may have a good chiropractor who also has a good sense of nutrition, which is fine. If not, then you need to have a good nutritionalist. And by nutritionalist, I don't necessarily mean a dietitian or, you know, someone who has, you know, a lot of DDDs or PhDs or EDDs behind their name, but someone who has a grasp firm on nutrition, and not just clinical nutrition, but more or less dietary nutrition. And if you, just for a moment, if it's okay, I want to just dive into that a little bit, because I think that's also another miscommunication that people have. For example, oftentimes when a person gets sick, the first thing that we say is, hey, take vitamin C, right? You got to go get you some orange juice, right? Get you some orange juice, right? Well, let's back up and let's look at where this comes from, where are the misconceptions, and what are the things that we're missing. Well, back in the 17th and 18th century, there were millions of people dying of scurvy. But there was a doctor, he was a surgeon named James Lynn. He was a surgeon for the British Navy. And he started to study scurvy, right? And we don't have scurvy a lot now with all the advances in health, thank the Lord. But, you know, he heard of a tale or a story of a soldier who had scurvy, and his captain basically just gave up on him because he was so sick he could barely walk. And he basically docked him and just left him there, just left him to die in the Greenlands. Well, this sailor who was left for dead started to eat the grass, right? So he literally started to eat the grass, and then called it scurvy grass because when he ate the island grass, he actually was nursed back to health. So Dr. Lynn, hearing this story, right, got inspired. So he did a study on scurvy because a lot of shipmen were in sailors. You know, they were becoming very ill and they were dying. So what he did was he took, I believe it was 12 sailors, and he isolated them. And for half of them, he gave them two oranges and a lemon a day. And the other ones, he gave them their regular regimen or whatever they did to treat for scurvy. And what he found, I think it was cider that they gave them. And what they found is the ones who had cider given to them, they had barely any improvement in their health. But the ones who were given two oranges and a lemon in 6 days, Suzanne, only in 6 days, they almost had their health completely turned around, right? So you take that story. Now, from a clinical nutritionist standpoint, what a clinical nutritionist would do, and they're not necessarily bad people, but just thinking a little too much inside the box. What they would do is they would say, okay, well, what's the greatest potency in the orange? Vitamin C. What if we could take vitamin C, extract it from the orange, and just give people that? Well, vitamin C may have the greatest potency in the orange, but guess what? There's other things in the orange. So I don't know the exact international units for it, but let's just say vitamin C makes up 70% of the orange. Mm-hmm. If it makes up 70% of the orange, yeah, it's the greatest compound in the orange. But only extracting the vitamin C out of the orange leaves 30% on the table. So when we get sick, what do we say? Hey, take some vitamin C, right? So we'll drink some orange juice or, you know, drink a glass of orange juice or take some vitamin C pills. But what if we're missing the other 30%? So I like to have this conversation because, you know, it brings up the conversation of the vitamins and the supplements. And you hear some people say, well, hey, doc, you know, the research says this, or, you know, if you have a good balanced diet, you don't have to take supplements. You don't need to take vitamins and this, that, and so forth. Well, I'm not going to say that that concept is wrong, but most of us don't have a good balanced diet, so we need to supplement, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. supplements mm-hmm. don't mean replacement, right? Just like with isogenics, it's not necessarily a replacement for not having a good diet. It's more or less of a supplement to help supplement what you're not getting in your diet, right? Most people become sick because they're either deficient or they're toxic in something. So you're either deficient, meaning you're not getting enough of something, or you're toxic, meaning you're getting too much of bad stuff. So supplements and vitamins should be used as a means to help feed you with the things that you're not getting. So I'm a big proponent of taking supplements that are, you know, whole food, meaning they're from, you know, good sources, you know, fruits and nuts and berries and things like that, and vegetables, not stuff that is more or less synthetically made in a lab that mimics the chemistry compound of a vitamin C, for example, but leaves out the other 30%.
You know, I love what you're saying, because I think that we look at nutrition so simplistic, and there's so much on the market that, you know, if you know, and I always think, you know, the body's such a complex machine, and it's such a beautiful machine. But if I were to just, you know, take this berry, just drink this berry, and you're going to be better. And then just go eat this. And we hear people eating, just, I'm just eating this, or I'm just eating that. And that's such a simplistic approach. Whereas exactly what you're saying is within the orange, within the apple, within the, you know, the vegetables, there's this complex combination of vitamins and minerals and nutrients and all these things that they're all there for a purpose. That's what makes it what it is. And I think we think that, well, if I just go get this, I'll be fine. And I think when we're talking about this whole thing called health, it really is, as you said, a commitment to doing all the pieces and acquiring the information necessary and getting the support necessary so you can do the pieces. And I think what most people shy away from is a commitment to your health is truly that. It's a commitment. It is. It's like it's a commitment, like, you know, you bring a child home from the hospital. It's a commitment. You're in it for until like 18, 20.
You're in it for the long haul when you bring a kid
right?
home.
Right, you can't just say I'm, you know, not today. You know, and we don't relate to our health as the same thing. It's a commitment. It's a lifelong commitment, and the minute you put it down is the minute it starts diminishing. You can't put your health down, and so you can't put down your nutrition. You can't put down all the pieces that make us tick. And I think in society today, it's like, oh well, I'll pick that up later. 10 years go by. It's like, yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. And But what you're saying is we got to be at it day in, day out. We got to make that decision. We got to make that commitment.
Yeah, you know, it's just like setting, you know, just like when you set your alarm clock, you're setting your alarm clock to get up. Well, you have to be on purpose on a daily basis, you know, to say, hey, you know what? Yesterday I didn't do too good. Or, you know I ate that for lunch. Let me do a little bit better, right? So you have to start putting in those own safeguards for yourself. That's why I said you have to decide. It has to be important to you. Now, granted, are there days when we slip? Are there days when we miss the mark? Absolutely, without a doubt. But at least you know, right? Mm-hmm. At least you know, hey, I got to do something. But once again, if you don't know that there is a better way, it's more or less to say that how can you do better if you don't know better, right? Even like, you know, like vitamin D, for example. So many of us are vitamin D deficient. I've read stats that say, well, here in America, that 60% to 80% of people are vitamin D deficient. Now, most people may say, oh, okay, vitamin D deficient, right? Well, it's a huge thing. So huge that, did you know that when it was excavated, they excavated Persian skulls and also Egyptian skulls back in like 400 BC, right? And what was found is that the Persian skulls that were wrapped with turbans, right, because it was protected from the sun, right? The sun didn't get a chance to get to it, right? Didn't send any of those strong vitamin D rays through the turban, right, in that direct contact, that you could take a pebble and throw it at the skull and the skull would crack. But the Egyptians who were out in the sun who had no protective layer, right, covering their skulls were stronger, right? Now, this is from how many years ago? You're right, thousands of years ago, right? So it just goes to show that vitamin D is critical in our lives, not, and we know in bone structure, but even outside of bone structure, right? There's been studies to say that when you have too low vitamin D levels, it can, you know, contribute to things such as, you know, anxiety, depression, Alzheimer's, the list goes on and on and on, diabetes, right, on and on and on. But when you think of our lifestyles, how many of us, including us, Suzanne, actually get enough vitamin D, right? It's like, when is the last time we went outside and just sat outside for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or went for a brisk walk? It hardly ever happens, right? So little things like that, we need to be more aware of it. So in that sense, then it's like, well what do we do, right? You got to supplement, right? Because you don't want to be, you know, overstimulated, right, as well, because it's been said that 1 in 50 people suffer from, you know, skin cancer. So, you know, you got to find that fine median. There's a really cool app out. It's called D-Minder, like the letter D like David, and the word Minder, M-I-N, D as in David, E-R. D-Minder.info, I think is the website. But D-Minder, it's a really cool website where it'll actually show you how much vitamin D you should get throughout the day. And based on where you live, the latitudes and different things like that, when is the best time for you to go outside, right? So little things like that is pretty cool because it allows you to have that opportunity now to get it into your body, not having the supplement, but it gives you the breakdown of, hey, if you live here, this is the best time of the day when the rays will be out and your body is able to receive more. And because anyone who lives north of Atlanta, Georgia, north of Atlanta's latitude, will not generate vitamin D come November. And you won't be able to get it again until April, right? So then it's like, well, what do I do from November to April? So then what you have to do is you have to supplement, right? So, you know, even, you know, throughout the app and things like that, it gives you different suggestions on the website, different suggestions on how to get vitamin D into your body. But once again, you can't go with the cheapest stuff out there because, as we all know, cheaper isn't it's just what it is. It's cheap, right? Right? It's like, think about batteries. It's like when you buy and I'm not sold on any specific brand, but if you get a really cheap battery that costs $1 opposed to another battery, the fact is it lasts longer. There's something else in it that keeps the expansion of the life to be brighter, longer, and it gives you a greater function. Right? So think about the supplements you're putting in your body. So I'm kind of torn when people say, well, you'd rather take something than nothing. Well, I don't want to put crap in my body, so I'll probably go with nothing if I had to go with crap.
But once again, that is the
decision. And I understand, you know, sometimes people are under financial strains and things of that nature, but you can't give me that as an excuse if you're spending your money on other things. You know, I remember someone told me, he once said, you know, Doc, people spend money on what they want. I said, well, how can you say that? He said, well, people can afford what they want. And he wasn't being insensitive by any stretch of the imagination. But what he meant by that was, you know, you don't have to have a cell phone. I mean, when you really think about it, right? You don't have to have a smartphone at $100 a month. You don't have to have that, right? You don't have to have cable, right? It's like all these little things we have that's important to us, right? All these entertainment things. But what if your health's not there? How important is that entertainment? You know, it's kind of like Steve Jobs. He has a quote that says, you know, his goal was to never be the richest man in the cemetery, right? It's like, what is it to have all this money and I don't have my health?
Absolutely. And that's such a great point, because we're talking about where we invest our money and where we invest our time. And we, you know, I watch people who will tell me they don't have time to work out, but they go and sit and watch an hour or 2 hours of television. You know, they don't have time to, you know, they don't have the money to eat healthy. Then they drive by one of those fast food stores that will remain nameless. And in doing so, they spend actually more money. And I think what I've learned over time from my own experience is I invest in what I value. And the minute something becomes of value to me, I find the money. So you're absolutely right. So Dr. Brian, it's been such a pleasure to chat with you. And I think what I'm really taking away and what I think I want to leave with the audience is some key things you said. One is that each and every one of us is required to decide if we are going to be in the driver's seat when it comes to our health. It's no one else's responsibility. Secondly, it is really key to form a team and to do those pieces consistently around your health. In other words, each day we are required to pick our health up and live into it with a level of responsibility and a level of vigilance that's worthy of our lives, because it is our life. And finally, the word is prevention, right? Prevention.
Right, absolutely. And how do you prevent is by constantly feeding good things into yourself, right? Whatever that may be. It's like a bank account. If you keep debiting the account and you're not recrediting the account, eventually the account's going to overdraw.
It's going to be empty. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of people with overdrawn accounts walking around. Dr. Byron, if someone wanted to get more information, get one of your books, just kind of find out more about you, where can they reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. My email address is Dr. Byron G. Jackson at hotmail.com. Excuse me. It is bgjackson@hotmail.com. B as in boy, G as in girl, jackson@hotmail.com. So that's bgjackson@hotmail.com. My national number is 770-714-1157, and website is drbyrongjackson.com. That's drbyrongjackson.com.
Awesome. And I know you have a gift for everyone that's listening, so what can they look forward to? I'm always excited about the gift because they've been really good.
So as we first opened up, I said I like to sift through all the medical mumbo-jumbo and give people really the nuts and bolts of what's out there and how they can use things in their life starting today to become healthier, right, and hopefully take those 1% of health and add up to 100% of health. So what I'm offering today is a digital copy of my latest book called 100 Health Secrets, so that people can discover the inside secrets that many don't know. So that's going to be the gift that I'm going to be sharing with all today. We're going to be sharing a digital copy of my book, 100 Health Secrets, to your listeners who email me. And all they have to do is email me with the subject saying Health Summit.
All right. Well, we have been speaking with Dr. Byron Jackson. Dr. Byron, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Well, thank you
so
again,
much for joining
Suzanne,
us.
And it was an absolute pleasure.